So our question this evening is very simple. Isn't God just a killjoy? I mean, let's be honest. His most famous piece of work is a list of rules, and a list of rules which mainly begin with, "Thou shalt not." It's not exactly a model of liberation, is it? Christianity is about restraint, repression. It's about avoiding the world and all its pleasures, which means the God behind it can at best be described as anti-fun, and that's hardly a recommendation. And so if there is such a God, then as the great Billy Joel put it in his song, "Only the Good Die Young," I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. You just have to look at most Christians in the media. They're always complaining about something. And then to top it all, you have the clearest evidence of all in that great character, Harold Bishop. Harold Bishop was, of course, the token Christian in Neighbours many moons ago. He was there for ages. He was killed off and brought back again to be interminably dull, or opposed to most things, and a fairly accurate reflection of what most people think about Christianity. Because God is a killjoy. The t-shirt or mug we'd all like to give God reads, "Keep calm and let us live a little." Well, let me lay my cards on the table, cards which I don't think will surprise you in the least. I don't think God's a killjoy. Quite the reverse, in fact. I think God is the most exciting person imaginable, full of great ideas, of fun, of joy. He's a delight to know. He's the first name you'd put on a list of dream dinner party guests if you want to make it a great evening. Well, you may not agree with that. As I've said, God has a bit of a reputation for being a killjoy. And what you think about God will determine what you think about Christianity. Well, let me throw a couple of thoughts for you, your way for you to chew over and talk about over your coffee. Firstly, saying no is not necessarily a bad thing. Saying don't do this is not necessarily aimed at spoiling our fun. No does not equal killjoy. Take, for example, my role as a parent. I often, not all the time I might add, but I often find myself saying no to my children. And it's not because I want them to be miserable, although sometimes I think they suspect it might be. No, it's because I love them. See, I've long forbidden them from lighting fires in their bedrooms. Not because I'm mean and want to spoil their camping game, but because, despite the fact I want to encourage their imagination and creative play, I also want them to be safe. We recently moved to Stevenage from Hoddesdon, but my eldest daughter in the first year of secondary school has finished out the school year back in Hoddesdon. Term finished on Friday, and this week she was going to go back with my wife, who works there, and spend some time with her friends. She was really looking forward to that, because she'll obviously be seeing less of them from now on. We've moved. Well, last night and this morning we said no to her. She couldn't go, and she was upset. But we said no, not because of a desire to spoil her fun, but because she isn't very well. And we knew that if she went, A, she might pass the bug on to her friends, and there is more than just her to think about, and B, she simply wouldn't cope. It would slow down her recovery. Our no was not what she wanted to hear, but it was ultimately for her joy. Our no was for her best, and from our love for her. See, there are things that God says no to, but not because he's a killjoy, but because it's for our best, and it comes out of his love for us. Secondly, God says yes a lot more than you might think. See, far from being the great killjoy, he is actually the great provider of joy. Let me give you just a couple of examples before I sit down and shut up. God is the supreme artist. God is the supreme artist. He could have created a functional world which would do what was necessary, provided food and water and heat and air. Instead, he made a beautiful world for us to delight in, with thousands of different plants which look wonderful and produce the air that we need to breathe. I mean, have you ever looked at a tree for a moment and taken in its wonder, the shapes its branches make, its strength and yet its elegance? It's far more than just an oxygen machine, and that's before we even get to flowers and their beauty. The sun provides us with heat and with dazzling sunsets, and, so I'm told, amazing sunrises, but I'm not exactly a morning person. Food and water could be merely practical, gel packs of the appropriate nutritional value. Instead, we have curries and roast dinners and pizza and duck à l'orange and bacon butties and pain au chocolat and a coffee menu that leaves us racked with indecision every time we reach the front of the queue. Delights for us to enjoy. Gifts of a good and loving God. God made us as people designed for relationship, to enjoy a meal out with friends, to enjoy sport and music and art, not just by ourselves, but with others. He made us able to laugh and to cry, to enjoy memories and to share experiences. We're designed to know and to be known, to enjoy other people as a reflection of the God who is Trinity, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally in loving relationship. But there's more, because the reality is that we've not always been loving in our relationships. We've let others down, we've said harsh things, we've done stuff we're ashamed of, that we regret. And we carry around this knowledge that we've hurt others, and it hurts us. See, guilt is real. We all feel it, and to be honest, so we should, because we've not lived as we should, and it matters. And God, far from being the great killjoy wagging his finger, wants to restore our joy by offering us forgiveness, by taking that guilt, that blame, on himself as Jesus dies on the cross. And with Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he offers us greater joy still, the opportunity for a new life, to be transformed into the people we were intended to be. He promises to give us the Holy Spirit to make us new. And finally, best of all, God offers us the opportunity to know, to be in relationship with, the source of all goodness and joy, himself. You see, being a Christian is not about entering a sect of repressed antisocials and becoming like them. It's about knowing and loving the good, kind God who loves you enough to die for you, the God who is the source of all goodness and joy, the God we were designed to know, the one that we long for. See, God is no killjoy. He's the source of everything wonderful. And he sometimes says no out of love for us. He gives us all good things from that same love for us. And he offers himself for us to delight to know him, to be free to be the people he made us to be. Well, I hope that's given you some ammunition for your conversations. But one last suggestion before I sit down. If you want to see what God is like, look at Jesus. There are some copies of one of the first biographies of him, the Gospel of John here, which you can take away for free. Have a read through. Read it for yourself and see if you think he's a killjoy. Thanks for listening, and do enjoy the rest of your evening.